Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Okay, I spent 10 minutes of my life perhaps wasted reading an article on the Teen Vogue website about a person who is gender neutral, and so you can't say he, can't say she, you have to say they. I'll share with you a little bit about what's happening on the front of the gender crisis. A poll came out last week regarding the perspective that vast majority of Americans have about trust in Disney moving forward, the battle over sex, identity, kids, and really ultimate human happiness. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Alleluia, he is risen. We are in this great solemnity of feast days, one after another, 8 days in the octave of Easter. And to keep our minds pondering still this Easter season, and not just the season, these 8 days are supposed to be like the first day of Easter still for this octave of Easter. I discussed this on Monday on Trending. If you don't know, you can go and listen to the podcast now at relevantradio.com/trending. But we are going to talk about St. Thomas and his doubt, his skepticism he had about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even after Christ told him he was going to rise, Thomas still doubted. Even when all the other apostles saw the risen Lord, Thomas still doubted. And so maybe you've struggled in your faith. You've doubted the true presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Or you struggle to believe that Christ is an intercessor, that God intervenes in our lives. We'll talk about that today on Trending in light of St. Thomas's response to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in sacred scripture. Joining me today will be our good friend Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. We're going to talk about whether or not chivalry is still necessary in the 21st century. Some people say chivalry is dead. Is it still relevant? Well, we'll dive into that. But first, it's our gentleman's hour, and we're going to unpack the topic of spiritual health for men. There's an overall trend today surrounding mental health as well as physical health. We know that the suicide rate has increased and continues to increase since 2000, especially over the last few years with COVID. 6 million United States men are affected by depression annually. It's costing Americans millions of dollars, impacting performance at work, at home, socially. But do we ever think about this health crisis from the perspective of our spirituality, which is the wholeness of who we are? Here to discuss that is Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, helping people who are struggling with pornography and sexual addiction to overcome those addictions, as well as those who might have been betrayed by a spouse or loved one who has been looking at pornography. Jim, welcome back to Trending.
Happy Easter, my friend. How are you?
Happy Easter. We're doing great. It's good to hear you back with us and talking about such an important topic.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about these two topics tonight. But talking about spiritual health, I mean, you know, you made a perfect point, Timory. We've spent so much time and effort focusing for many, many years, decades even, on our physical health. And that is important. And now we've spent 10, 20 years really diving into our emotional health, our psychological health. And that, too, is very, very important.
And costing also a lot of money as well.
Yes. What we're missing is the truth. And God made us body, mind, and soul. And every time, as human beings, every time, I don't care who you are or what the issue is, every time we look for the one silver bullet to make everything better, we end up getting worse. And I think that's where we are today. Because we're not paying attention, particularly as men, to our spiritual well-being.
You know, I think
we'll
it's true.
Gym,
we're seeing... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. We'll go to the gym. We'll spend all kinds of money on exercise equipment. We'll definitely... now, men more and more, we're talking about going to see a counselor or a therapist, and all that is really, really good. But what are we doing for ourselves spiritually, I think, is a really big question. And I've got five things to share tonight as we're talking, Timmery, that I think will really help men start to incorporate spiritual wellness into their routine practices, mm-hmm. I hope.
Yes, please, let's unpack this, because we're seeing a deterioration and degeneration of the human body, the human mind, our mental capacities, our emotional capacities. And believe it or not, the spiritual dimension does impact all areas. We're body and soul, mostly soul. So these five tips for helping to improve men's spiritual health, I think will be a real guiding post, especially as we've just come off of Lent. We're in this Easter season, probably engaging in what I don't call the freshman 15 for college, but the Easter 8 for this octave of Easter, where we justify absolutely every goodie for a while to go now. I think that this spiritual tune-up is a good opportunity to put ourselves back into check in this Easter season, especially for men on their spiritual health journey. So please dive in.
Well, yeah, and what a perfect time, right? The resurrection of our Lord. Well, we too... We're alive, so we're not going to be resurrected, but we certainly can be renewed during this season. And so the first thing I would say is every day, take time, gentlemen, to slow down, to get quiet, and pray. And don't pray just asking for stuff, but really get quiet and just say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me today? That getting quiet is so important in our spiritual lives, because God does not generally speak in a hurricane, but in a whisper. And so unless we're quiet, we don't hear that. That's the first one. The second one, and I think this can be very difficult for some men. Now, I hope everybody went to Mass on Sunday, Easter Mass, had a wonderful experience and is really excited to keep doing that. But gentlemen, make sure you connect with your faith community. Don't just go to church on Sunday and go through the motions and you can't wait to get out of there because you're going to brunch or you're going to go watch the game. Really connect. Connect with the other men in your faith community.
Okay, I'll throw a question out there, Jim, because I hear from so many men, they find that their experience at church would be what they'd refer to as feminized or too touchy-feely. In fact, my husband recently went to a men's conference, and he's already sworn off, you know, many retreats because he's not been to the right retreat. I'll just put it that way. He shows up in this, and he agrees to go to this men's conference. He's looking forward to it. And the speaker had the men looking at each other, holding hands, saying, "You are loved." And he was just about ready to fall off his chair and left early and is swearing off men's conferences again. And I think I bring this story up because I think there are a lot of men where they think about, quote unquote, getting involved in their church community. And maybe they've just found it hasn't quite fit. It's been overly sentimentalized. They haven't found good relationships. So what do you do in those instances, Jim?
Well, that, first of all, I'm sorry I laughed out loud like that. I apologize, and I'm so sorry for your husband's experience. But I'm not going to stop. Think, Timmery, you kill me because I can't. So the next one on the list is get involved, help others. So, guys, look, if that's been your experience, and you're holding hands, stop it. But get involved. Start a men's group in the church that goes out once a month and has a couple beers and steaks and talks about your family. We used to do a really cool thing once a year at my son's school, in high school. All the dads would get together and do a pig roast. So we'd have 25, 30 different teams of men that came together to make their own special recipe pigs. And we'd stay up all night. And yeah, there That's was awesome. Some cigars and bourbon. I will say there was. But we would make these pigs and then we would give the food away. Mm. Do something. Change it. You know, be the change you want to see. I get it. And I know your husband and he knows me and we both would have walked out from that. But you got to do something about it, right? So be that guy. Step up and be that guy. It's going to help you spiritually as well. Number four on the list, and I think this one's really important, is to read scripture daily. You don't have to read for 2 hours. Guys, 15 minutes of sitting down every day and reading God's word, you are going to be amazed how that word is going to come back to you throughout the day. When you need it. And then finally, and this one can be tough too, gents, but it's really important. Build a relationship with your priest. It's going to help your spiritual health. But let me tell you something, guys. You don't know how much it's going to help his spiritual health. Mm-hmm. We consume from our priests constantly. Mm-hmm. He's there for all the sacraments. He's there for the baptisms, the weddings, confession, sick calls. But who's taking care of him? Mm-hmm. And when you do that, guys, you're going to build a brotherhood with other men who do that.
Mm-hmm. Some of our dearest friends have become our priests. I will say that our priest who married us and baptized our baby is the godfather of our child. Our priests really do need us. They need to be around families. They need to be a part of families. They need to minister to families. It's so important for them to be, to receive and give and to have that deep relationship, especially at a time where, you know, clergy feel at times they need to hold people at our arm's distance. And sometimes we do too with our clergy, given a lot of the scandal that's occurred in the church. But they're human beings just like us and with great gifts and charisms that need to be fostered and cultivated and hear other perspectives, as do we. That friendship is so important.
And if we know, which I love this quote, and one of your other guests use it all the time, Colonel Grossman, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So for our priests, being able to have a group of men in the parish that they can be friends with, be brothers with. Man, that's powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to help your parish. It's going to help your family. It's going to help you personally. It's going to help your priest. Father needs it.
Yeah. And I know there's something you've always done, whatever church community you're in, to build that relationship with your priest and kind of start your own little men's group. What is that?
Yes. The St. Joseph men's group that we've started in a couple parishes now. It's really simple. We get a group of guys together to say to the priest or priests, when we've been lucky enough to have more than one, hey, Father, once a month we're taking you out for a steak dinner and a couple beers, and we're just going to sit around and talk guy stuff. And this has been so powerful for these priests. Number one, because it's built community and relationship where their life can be very isolating, honestly. And number two, they also feel they're not alone. You know, I can't imagine being a priest taking care of people all day long, trying to run a parish, which is nothing short of a small business, and then going home at night alone and feeling like, wow, I got to do it all by myself again tomorrow. That's exhausting. And so when you have that group of men, then projects in the parish happen. families get more engaged in the parish. It's really amazing to see the benefits of it. And we can only do those things if we're taking, as men, taking care of our spiritual health.
And it's a way to get involved in your church community, as you're saying. That's a recommendation you make. Well, maybe you're not feeling the groups that you see in your church community. Well, here, start your own. And it's simple. It's going to dinner once a month. It'll help you to start to form those relationships with your priest and some of the other men in your parish. So what's tip number five for tuning up your spiritual health as a man?
That was it. Building a relationship with your priest.
Got it. Excellent. So just to run through those five real quick, if you could.
Sure. Take time to slow down and get quiet, which we could do a whole show on how to get quiet. It's really hard.
Yes.
Connecting with your faith community does not mean holding hands. Helping others, get involved. If you don't like what's happening, get involved. Read scripture daily. And then build a relationship with your priest. And the benefits of this are endless, Timory. Creating that sense of purpose and belonging, that increase in our spiritual well-being, will make us calmer and create hope. And to me, that's the most important thing, because there are going to be times in all of our lives, as men and women, where things are not going the way you want them to.
Robert called from New York City, Jim, and he has a question about drawing the line in seeking spiritual help and seeking psychological help. Where do you draw that line?
Oh, great question, Robert. Thanks for reaching in. So I think what you need to do is do both. So here at Integrity Restored, you know, Timory, we've talked about our three pillars, right? The first pillar is you find a qualified scientific therapist and you reach out and you start talking to them. But the second pillar is doing the same thing on the spiritual side. So reaching out to your priest or a spiritual director, a spiritual mentor, somebody you know that is further along in the faith journey than you are. I think you do both. Because, again, we're always looking for that silver bullet. Well, let me just work on this one area. Well, then the other two areas suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, that doesn't mean... Sorry.
CatholicPsychologist.com will post a link on social media. What are you going to say?
That doesn't mean that that's forever, right? So if you need some psychological help right now, you get that worked out, maybe you just need a tune-up then. Every once in a while, but you keep working with your spiritual director. It's just a journey. It's a process. But I think you have to do all of it. And I would say to Robert, you know, what are you doing for your health? How are you feeling health-wise, physically? When I talk to my coaching clients through Integrity Restored, we cover every session four areas, Timory. First is physical health. The second is your emotional health. The third is your spiritual life. And the fourth is your relationships. Because if anything's out of whack in any of those areas of your life, the other areas will suffer. It's just how God built us.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, touching on those simple parts of our life, of eating, of sleeping, you know, are we getting enough water, hydration, all of those, believe it or not, really do impact our capacity to function and operate properly. But I love this perspective of diving into a man's spiritual health. We talk about physical, we talk about emotional, we talk about mental health, but what overrules all of that is, are we right with God? Because when we are, that is what helps us to cope, heal, and maintain in the midst of anything we may experience. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. That's Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. You can find him at integrityrestored.org. That's integrityrestored.org. And we're going to come back during this weekly Gentleman's Hour every Wednesday talking about whether or not chivalry is still needed in the 21st century. Also, have you ever struggled with skepticism, doubt, and the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Well, Doubting Thomas, he was a saint, an apostle, he struggled too when Jesus rose from the dead.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The battle over sex, identity, kids, happiness, all of it's coming to a head with this LGBTQ ideology and the recent investigation, or should I say expose of Disney, showing that they're intentionally putting LGBTQ characters and sexualized content into Disney movies, and especially television shows. We've been talking about this for years here on Trending, and it's now widespread news that this has been a goal of some of the top level producers for Disney television. But what's fascinating is a poll came out showing that Americans, no matter their political perspective, they're not trusting Disney. And I think this is telling. We're going to talk about this and just the transgender craze we're seeing and the reality shift that's happening in the culture right now. Good news, but also challenges and warnings that we need to keep our eyes on. Joining me now during our weekly Gentleman's Hour is Jim O'Day. He's the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. You can find them at integrityrestored.org, helping people who are struggling with sexual addiction and pornography addiction overcome those wounds, as well as their loved ones. In fact, we'll have a little bit of news for you in just a moment. If perhaps you have experienced a betrayal from a spouse who struggled with a pornography addiction. But before we go there, I want to dive in to, I think, a very important topic, and that is chivalry dead in the 21st century? We're here in 2022, and many people kind of wonder if chivalry is still relevant. It's fascinating. Jim, a couple years ago, a study came out in the United Kingdom's Journal with research out of the University of Kent and Iowa State University. And what it showed is that women are more likely to couple up with men who are so-called benevolent sexists, according to the study, that is, men that will give a woman special treatment, not treating her like a man who follows progressive feminist ideologies, but instead treats women as if they're special, meant to be cherished and protected, rather than so-called equal and like a man. I think that study was so telling because what it showed is that even radical feminists wanted to be treated special by a so-called benevolent sexist. But I think it's relevant to this question: is chivalry dead in the 21st century?
Well, I certainly hope not. We have to look at what chivalry is, and when we get this image of chivalry in our mind, most of us think of medieval knights, and that's true. They had a very strong code of chivalry, but it goes back even further than that. Chivalry's in the Bible. The Jews were told how to wage war and conduct themselves in difficult times. And so what chivalry really is, in the broadest possible sense, or Jim O'Day's definition, is a guide, a code of how we should conduct ourselves. And it's not that difficult. I think that study that you talked about is very, very telling. Mm-hmm. Whether people want to believe it or not, God created man and he created woman. They're different. And so, from the chivalry standpoint, men should conduct themselves in certain ways. But here's the thing. Ladies should too. When we think of chivalry, I mean, think of St. Joan of Arc. She is what they're calling a chivalric saint. There's an important code that we should live our lives by, and it's not that difficult. I've got a few, Timory, of the chivalric code guides. There's 10 to 15 of them, depending on what source you look at. But some of them are so easy to do starting today, gentlemen. when you're
And
tempted
before
to.
we dive into those, Jim, I would like to touch on the fact that many men today are concerned that they will be labeled as sexist or chauvinist for treating a woman as a woman and honoring, respecting, or protecting her. And I really am of the opinion that if you feel that you are being offensive for holding a door open or intervening before a woman gets hurt or is in the process of being hurt, I think that we're allowing the culture to influence us too much. And so I think that that caveat is important to note because I do hear from a lot of men who are bullied by ideology in succumbing to it and to just not being chivalrous today. So let's dive into the chivalric code to help regain that natural sense of responsibility for others again.
I have to comment on that because I've had it in my own life, Timothy,
Do tell.
where I've held the door for a woman, and she's looked me right in the face and said, "I don't need you to do that for me."
Wow.
And I
Wow,
said,
and what
"You're
did that do to you moving forward?
well, I'm a New York City guy and maybe a bit of a wise guy." So I said to her, I looked her right in the eye very calmly, and I said, "No, you're absolutely right. You don't. But my mother raised me well." And that was the end of it. She walked off, and I didn't get upset. I felt sorry for her because you know what? She is God's daughter, and she's a woman. And by nature of that, she is special. I cannot carry a baby. She can. There's just things that women can do that I can't do. And so, therefore, they're special. And I am going to treat them that way no matter what.
And that perspective is so important to have that even in the face of collisions and offenses you may have with women who don't appreciate chivalry. You do it anyways. Like you said, that's the way your mother raised you, or this is what's right. It's kind of like the conversation I had yesterday here on Trending. Abortion's wrong, period. Abortion kills a baby, period. We need to speak up and say that. Well, same thing. Chivalry is right, period. Like we as Christians helped to end child sacrifice in the Roman Empire. We as Christians will bring about a culture of civilization and respect and honor again if we act like Christians. And so I think that chivalry in the 21st century, these how-to tips that have been lost, need to be rekindled again.
And as I said, this is not, oh, how am I going to do this? This is easy stuff, guys. Really, just every day, each one of us can be tempted to speak a lie. Don't speak a truth. That's easy, right? Be generous to something or someone you were tempted to ignore. Keep silent when we are tempted to brag. These are all foundational cores of the code of chivalry. And like I said, there's 10 or 14 of them, depending on which book or what author you want to read. But I'm just going to go over a couple of them, and we could talk about them as I go, Timory. The first one, back to the first one again, speak the truth. Speak that truth in every situation, even if there's a personal cost.
Hey, this is
Chivalry,
so important.
abortion, gay marriage, like there's truths that we need to be speaking as Catholic men and speak them, even though it might be uncomfortable.
Amen.
The next one is honor. Honor is such an important code of chivalry.
And
But what does
lost
that mean
today.
to, yeah, yes. But really, what does it mean to be an honorable man? Well, let's make it really simple for us guys. We know we're not that smart. Let's make it simple. Keep your word, gentlemen. Uphold your beliefs. Make sure your life reflects your values. That's simple. That's honor. And if we just thought about it and did that every day, what a different world, what a different Catholic faith we would have. Which brings us to the next one, valor. To me, you know, I've been teaching martial arts for 30 years. I've been around incredible senseis and instructors and teachers and warriors. Valor is not the lack of fear, but valor is the ability to set aside that fear and self-interest when you have to fight for what's right. Mm-hmm. And that's not only physical, gentlemen. That is regardless of what somebody may do to you or what somebody may say about you. That mm-hmm. is valor.
And valor is such a masculine virtue. Valor actually is part of like that word virtue itself, which pertains in particular to men. If we were to dive into the etymology of the word virtue and valor and virile, I think that it's a reminder that virtue is not something that's just soft or that is soft, but virtue is something that is embodied in strength. And you look at, I remember, I think it was Jackie Kennedy. You and I might have talked about this before. And Jackie Kennedy, when she met St. John Paul II, she said he was the most virile man she had ever met. And here's a celibate pope of all people. But he so embodied virtue, honor, these chivalrous qualities that you're speaking of, that his manliness was just exuding from him. That she saw it, and she saw it so profoundly.
Beautiful is that. You know, somehow in our church history, in our past segment, we talked about it with your husband's experience of maybe the feminization of the church for men, making it uncomfortable. But if you want to think of a chivalric image, a guide, think of Jesus. Think of Jesus. When he was in the temple and he was swinging those ropes around, he knew that that was going to, people were going to talk about him. Somebody may have hit him. We weren't there. We don't know. But he did it anyway because it was right. He fought for what was right regardless of the cost. When he picked up his cross, he did what was right. Regardless of the cost, and he knew that cost. But he did it anyway. I'm not saying we should be crucified, but for goodness sake, men, stand up.
Valor is such an important virtue. Do you have more virtues you wanted to dive into with regard to chivalry, or should we take Sebastian, who's waiting to talk about an experience he recently had this Easter?
Oh, let's talk to Sebastian.
Sebastian's from Alberta, Canada. Sebastian, welcome to Trending. What's your question for Jim today?
Hi, Timmy and Jim. Over the last little bit, I've been, especially in this Easter, I went through an emotional, mental, just breakdown that unraveled into stonewalling my wife, just being absolutely withdrawn and distant from the family during the gatherings. And it's, my wife has started to notice a pattern. You know, Christmas comes, I become the Grinch. Easter comes, I become just this sad, angry person. And although I'm sure there's going to be many things to kind of unpack and address, if I could put my finger into something that is the catalyst, tends to be my job. I find the levels of stress are so high, and then say when Easter comes, this particular situation happened that my clients demanded stuff right when my family demanded the opposite. You know, my family essentially expected for me to be off work, available, at peace, and maybe in seeing myself completely unavailable and unable to do it just threw me down a spiral. And my question is, so I went to see my spiritual director. I'm a man who prays. I've done Exodus 90 over the years. I do an hour of prayer every morning. I pray the rosary every day. We're faithful mass goers, and we try to do at least one weekday mass and adoration a week.
Good for you, Sebastian. That's wonderful.
I struggle. During this breakdown, I fell into a rebellious attitude with God, complete distrust, and my prayer has been that of desperation and asking for peace, saying, "Lord, I have nothing in me, and if you don't give me peace, I can't just craft it for myself by myself. I can't do it."
Mm-hmm. Sebastian, it sounds like you're ready for making some changes so that it can help you from kind of those moments of implosion around the holidays, of shutting everyone out and just feeling absolutely exhausted and overworked, when it's meant to be that prime time for family time that can be stressful, I think, sometimes for everyone, with the actual family members in town, people you may or may not get along with the extra activities and shopping and sometimes extra money spent. It can be a stressful time. Jim sounds like he's ready for a new job potentially, but I'd love to hear your thoughts and guidance on the situation.
Well, for sure, if you and I were talking, sitting down, having a coffee, I would tell you, you need to start looking at your job and see if that situation is right for you, if it's healthy for you or not. But the second thing is, there's something we can always do to control it. So maybe, Sebastian, when you know you've had this experience, Christmas and Easter, when you know it's those times, let's make sure you have vacation time scheduled so that you're off from work. It's just a simple boundary that you can put with your employer. The second thing is to recognize that sometimes we're going to be in desolation. And when we're in those times, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's usually when God is trying to tell us something much more profound. So get yourself quiet. Don't respond. Don't let those chemicals, the fight or flight chemicals, which is what's controlling your behavior because you're spun up, don't let them take over. Breathe. Get quieter during those times. And really listen, because God may be talking to you in a very, very special way at that moment. Mm-hmm. So the practical is, make sure you have vacation time scheduled during the holiday periods so that you can be completely present for your family. And then for you personally, make sure that when you're starting to feel that way, you slow it down, you quiet it down. Because once those chemicals start flowing in your body, then your thinking brain shuts off, to be quite honest with you. You can't help how you react. You're reacting normally. Everything that you're doing is completely normal because you're just flooded with the fight or flight chemicals.
Yes. Yep. Yes. That's Jim O'Dare, Executive Director from Integrity Restored. Find them at integrityrestored.org. We have another call coming in from Jeff from Albuquerque. His question has to do with abortion. Jeff, welcome to our weekly Gentleman's Hour here on Trending. What's your question?
How do we talk to men about their responsibility for abortion?
For if they've been involved in an abortion, or just talking about it as a societal issue?
Well, I've been involved in an abortion. I'm an abortionist and have found that I know that I had a responsibility for what happened. And I'm not talking about regretting, because I've been saved and I've also been through confession about this. But what I see we're missing is how we talk to men about their responsibility for the problem of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, are you saying because you were involved in abortion, you're calling yourself an abortionist, or are you an actively practicing abortionist?
That's an extreme way of just making a point.
Got it. I thought so. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think that that level of self-conviction and accountability speaks volumes, because I think it's very easy for men to check out of their responsibility, given that legally men have no say in abortion today. Jim, I'd love to hear your thoughts first, because I know you've worked with men as well who have been a part of an abortion. I'll share mine as well.
Yep. The first thing I would say, great question, number one, and thanks for your bravery and for calling and talking about it. But it needs to start way before the abortion. There was a quote that somebody once said, "The measure of any society can be gauged by how it treats its women." And so, men, if we completely objectify women all the time, if we think women are just there for our pleasure, if we're having sex randomly outside of marriage, well, that's just going to feed this abortion industry. So some of it is definitely self-discipline on the man's part to say, "No, we're not going to do that because I care about you." The other thing is, I've spoken to many men who've been through that situation, whether they chose it, the couple chose it together, or they were advised of it after the fact. And we have a responsibility as men. If that woman gets pregnant, our responsibility actually is to take care of her and that ch and the child. That's my personal opinion. And
Yeah.
when I was 21 years old, my birthday present was, "Honey, I'm pregnant." And I called my dad, and I called an uncle of mine, and petrified, "What do I do? What do I do?" And both of them said to me, "How much?" Now, somehow, through the grace of God, that didn't feel right. And now, 34 years later, I'm the proud dad of an incredible daughter. My wife and I have been together since. I have grandkids. I have another son. It was scary, but I said, "No, I can't do that." So, yes, you might be scared, gentlemen. And if you're in that situation now and you're listening and you don't know what to do, I will say, be involved. Choose life. That doesn't mean I've been blessed that I'm married to the same woman. And but even if that's not the case, you're still the baby's dad.
That's Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. We're going to come back with resources for healing for men after being involved in abortion. I'll also give some thoughts on how men can handle their participation in pregnancy and preventing an abortion, and even after an abortion has occurred with someone. Again, check out Integrity Restored at integrityrestored.org, and I'll come back sharing some news with you about an upcoming healing retreat they have for women who have been betrayed by their spouse.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Jeff from Albuquerque was just with us talking or asking the question about how to discuss a men's involvement and responsibility when it comes to abortion. He shared that he had been involved in an abortion himself, and I want to provide this resource. There are many opportunities for healing for men after having been a part of an abortion, whether you willingly cooperated and encouraged it or experienced it without knowing. And so we're posting a link now on my Twitter and Facebook. Follow me at Timmerie. That's Timmerie. The link is to Support After Abortion, Healing for Men After the Trauma of Abortion. So I hope you will check that out and share it. Even just posting it on social media, if you've not been involved in abortion yourself, having that as a resource for people who maybe they don't know why they have this pent up anger and aggression or frustration. In fact, it's known that many men who are in our jail and prison systems have experienced lost fatherhood, have some way been involved in an abortion, and that has significantly impacted them and has led to aggression and outbursts that have led at times to imprisonment. And they, for years, didn't know some of the root of their frustration and their issues had to do with that abortion that they were involved in. So healing after an abortion isn't something that just needs to occur for women, but for men as well. And if you are a woman who has experienced an abortion, I want to encourage you to attend a healing retreat. Rachel'sVineyard.org is a resource for healing after an abortion. Again, that's Rachel'sVineyard.org. We'll also include a link to that on my Twitter at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And just a thought, a brief comment. When it comes to men's involvement in abortion, one, of course, if you know you're being, whether you are the responsible father or a man who a woman has confided in you that she's considering having an abortion, the most chivalrous thing to do is to step up and step forward and to be that masculine support at a very trying and frightening and fragile and outright dependent time in a life when a woman is pregnant. And when a woman is pregnant, she is more dependent on those around her. She's more fragile. She needs additional support. She needs that familiarity and protection. And so I think as men, one of the greatest things you can do when someone shares their news of a pregnancy, even if they share that they're considering having an abortion, is to focus on the congratulations of that baby, to focus on the congratulations of motherhood, and to overwhelmingly show your physical and emotional support and help to figure out what other means of support that woman needs. That's how men can take responsibility in a culture where it's easy to take the way out of, as Jim O'Day just shared with us, when he shared that at 21 years old on his 21st birthday, he found out that his now wife, then girlfriend, was pregnant. What did he do? Well, he calls an uncle, calls his father, and they both ask him how much to try and get out of this, how much to just do away with the problem, how much to have an abortion. He said no, he did the right thing. I think that this is what men are called to. Maybe you were at a point in your life where you didn't do the right thing and you allowed that abortion to occur, or you found out after the fact that that abortion happened. And perhaps you know because of that, you should. There needs to be healing. There needs to be an apology, a reconciliation. You know, it might be hard to go back to that person if you're not in contact, but to apologize and to offer resources and hope and healing, because that woman who went through that abortion, however many days, months, or years later it may be, is still struggling. And she needs hope and healing and forgiveness. And maybe even forgiveness from you if you're a father who she didn't tell was expecting a baby and stole that fatherhood from you. And so there are resources, again, we post them on Twitter. They'll also be available in the podcast notes for today's podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we'll be there. Also relevantradio.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast and share this episode with a loved one. Hey, tomorrow I want to talk about the battle over sex, gender identity, and what's happening with Disney, and some fascinating things I read everywhere from Teen Vogue to videos I just watched on YouTube. You need to know about this, but also to hear a little bit of good news about the general response people are having to the sexualization of our children via the LGBTQ ideology that Disney has been pushing forward, that even their own executive producers have come out saying they've been pushing in children's television shows. So stay tuned as I'll talk about that tomorrow, as well as dive into why children need their moms, and also what's the Catholic take on surrogacy, as we hear more celebrities and even political commentators announcing their new babies via a rent-a-womb that is a surrogate. What should our response be? What is the medical health side of it? And what is the faith-filled approach that matches reason, science, and social psychology when it comes to surrogacy? And by the way, the United States has the most permissive surrogacy laws in the world. Most nations find it barbaric what we're doing when it comes to surrogacy. In fact, people from other nations come to the United States, especially San Diego, where I've been living, so that they can access children via surrogacy because it's not legal in their country the way it is here, because it's bad for women. So stay tuned. We'll dive into that tomorrow. But I want to use these last moments to talk about St. Thomas. Have you ever struggled with belief in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Or maybe believing that God not just exists, but that God intervenes in our lives, that God is actually calling us to the worship that we practice in the Catholic Church? Well, St. Thomas had a hard time believing in the resurrection, even though our Lord Jesus Christ warned him and prepared him for not just his suffering and death, but for the fact that he was going to rise. In fact, St. Thomas, if you have the opportunity, take some time to read the Gospel according to John, chapters 20 and 21. They're full of the resurrection narratives. And I love to read these stories over and over again. Talk about St. Peter and St. Thomas and St. Mary Magdalene. More on all of them tomorrow, including St. John. But St. Thomas said when he missed the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, that unless he sees the Lord and puts his fingers into the handprints and the nails, that he would not believe. Maybe you struggled in that same way. We're going to continue St. Thomas's story and how he did have that opportunity to touch the resurrected Lord. Are you there waiting for that proof? What did St. Thomas do? We'll discuss tomorrow on Trending. Have you joined us for a weekly marriage hour before? Well, it's this Thursday. This is Timmery from Trending with Timmery. Do kids need their moms? With more announcements of babies expected by celebrities and political commentators via rent-a-womb, that is, a surrogate, we'll dive into a Catholic take on surrogacy to clear the air on any confusion. Join me Thursday at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.